Good morning. The watchword for this week comes from Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Friends, let's reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. Friends, we'll now proceed to our opening hymn this morning, number 605 in your hymnal, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. If you are able, please stand.
Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church. Today we continue in the season of Lent, celebrating the fourth Sunday of Lent and drawing ever closer to Palm Sunday and Holy Week. Today, Brother Matt Pace will be preaching and leading much of worship for today's service. And before we continue, I have a few announcements to share with you. Friends, our Lenten project to benefit Sunnyside Ministry is still going on. Please bring a tote bag full of non-perishable food items if you are willing and able. All collections will be taken up during Holy Week. And in addition, we are also beginning to receive donations of candy for our Easter egg hunt coming up the day before Easter. So if you are willing and able, please donate individually wrapped small candies that we will stuff in the eggs for the egg hunt. The Easter card boxes for our special friends are also still out in the church hallway. There's a couple of weeks left to get your cards in if you're able to do so. The first Easter band practice of the year is this afternoon, beginning at 2 o'clock p.m. in the sanctuary of Home Moravian Church. This is not orchestra band practice, but practice for all the big Easter band and all of the sections of the Easter band that will play the sunrise service on Easter Sunday. So if you're interested in playing, please come to band practice at Home Moravian at 2 o'clock. Tomorrow, the Women's Fellowship will have a circle meeting at 11:30 a.m. in the Fellowship Building. The next day of prayer service will be this coming Wednesday at Fairview Moravian Church. The guest speaker will be Reverend Jimmy Newsom, pastor of Friedberg Moravian Church. Communion will be served during this service. The service will be both in person and live streamed on YouTube and Facebook. The orchestra band will practice this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in the Christ Moravian Sanctuary. And right as I say that, Carol, you told me a moment ago earlier that that is the Easter band. That is an Easter band practice also, not just orchestra. So my bad for that. The band will practice for Easter this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in the Christ Moravian Sanctuary. Friends, next Sunday there will be a youth lunch after worship in the Fellowship Building. The menu will be a taco bar. There's no cost for the meal, but a love offering will be collected to benefit the children and youth's programming. After the meal, all are invited to stay for a service activity. Volunteers will be asked to help pack hygiene bags that will be delivered and distributed to those in need. So all are welcome to join us for lunch next Sunday after worship. And if you're willing and able, if you'd like to stay to help us pack hygiene bags, you are more than welcome to do so as well. And friends, lastly, a week from Wednesday, the Finance Committee will have a meeting in the office building at 5:30 p.m. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. God, in all the activities coming up, both individually, within our families, within this church community, within the wider Moravian Church for the next few weeks, to close out Lent, to guide us to Holy Week, and then to Easter beyond. Gracious God, we pray your blessing on all of the activities, all of the meetings, all the practices, all of the acts of service and work that we do in your name during this particular season. We also ask for you to help us in the spaces between the work to take some rest for our bodies and for our souls and to find some quiet time with you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, taking over and leading worship now, Brother Matt Pace.
I invite you to stand and pray with me together the liturgy for Lent 2, found on page 78. We give thanks to you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our union with Christ, you have blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, you had already chosen us to be yours through Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before you. We praise you for your glorious grace, for the free gift you gave us in your dear Son. Lord Jesus, we come before you in humble confession. Help us conform our lives to you as the model for holy and righteous living. Forgive us for our desire for personal greatness, for our attempts to make gods of ourselves, for our willingness to exalt ourselves at the expense of others, and for our resistance to serving one another as you have served us. Forgive us for making light of your obedience and sacrifice on the cross by living an undisciplined and indifferent Christian witness. Forgive us for yielding to fear rather than relying on your strength to take the risk of discipleship. Forgive us, dear Jesus, for times we have not looked to you as our Lord, and for allowing the clamoring distractions of the world to become higher priorities than you. Forgive us for yielding more to the pressures of this world than being transformed by your lordship over our lives.
Thank you.
When we were dead in our sins, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations, which was against us and which stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Since we have been raised with Christ, let us set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Throughout this Lenten journey, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, not only for the privilege of believing in you, but of suffering for you as well, so that we may also be glorified with you. Let us stand. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since as members of one body we were called to peace, and let us be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Whatever we do, therefore, whether in word or deed, let us do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is one that we are very familiar with, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The Word of God for the people of God.
Friends, let us go to God again in prayer. Gracious God, we come to you today as busy people with busy lives and much going on. And while we know that there is much joy and satisfaction that can be found in work, gracious God, sometimes we can overextend ourselves, we can work ourselves too hard, we can run ourselves into the ground, we can volunteer to do too much, we can take on that one extra responsibility that may be just beyond what we're capable of at this moment and place and time. And so, gracious God, we ask you for discernment and wisdom, that we can better take care of ourselves, that we can better rely on you, and listen for your Holy Spirit to continue guiding us down the path you have called us in a way that is healthy and that is safe. And while there may be risks involved, that is the best overall way to care for ourselves and care for those who are responsibility. Gracious God, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The ushers, please come forward.
Thank you.
Our epistle lesson today comes from the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 14. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Our next hymn is hymn 380, God, Whose Almighty Word, and you can remain seated. Gospel lesson today comes from the book of John, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And it actually called 1 through 41, but I said, Connie, please do not put 41 verses in the bulletin. So we will focus on verses 1 through 7. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming in which no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed, and came back able to see. The word of God for the people of God, and thanks be to God. Let us go to God in prayer. O God of light, shine down on us today. Heal our vision. Use us as instruments of peace to a broken and a blind world. Be in our hearts and minds. Teach us your will and way. Use us as examples of Christ's forgiving and redeeming love. Amen. As many of you know, some of you do not, but many of you know, I am in a lay ministry class. This class will go through the entire year of 2026 and up through about April, I think, of 2027. Tomorrow will be our third class, and so far things are going good. The first class was on Moravian doctrine and theology, which sounds boring, but it was taught by Craig Atwood, and if you ever get a chance to learn from Craig, I highly recommend it. Reed and I were talking about, he's such a delightful teacher, and while you're a student and you're sitting in his presence, you surely don't feel that you're in school. He's so funny and witty, and he just has this gift for teaching. So in that class, we went over things like the essentials and the non-essentials and what they mean. And we went over the Moravian Covenant for Christian living and Jesus Still Lead On and that sort of thing. And so it was a wonderful class. Now that's the, I think, third time that I've been in that particular class. I took it when I was in the Moravian Leadership Network class. That was a few years back. And then now in this class. And I also took it at a inner synodal provincial thing that I did some years back. Anyway, third time that I've had it. All three times Craig taught it. And all three times I learned something new that I didn't know before. Last month, Sam Gray taught a class called Intro to Biblical Interpretations. Again, that sounds like, oh my God, beat my head on the wall, but it was actually also a good class. Tomorrow night will be my third class. Riddick Weber will be teaching that, and it is on Moravian hymns and liturgies, the lectionary or the church calendar, and the proper colors for the things that you see all throughout. And so I'm looking forward to that. Now, there's a spider up here. You know what that means. I mentioned the classes because last time in the biblical interpretations class, Sam Gray introduced it in this way. He said, you're all so familiar with the familiar reading where Jesus was talking with Peter about feed my sheep versus the simple scripture of Jesus wept. Now, we all know in the scripture Jesus wept. It's very matter of fact. But in the feed my sheep one, you know, where Peter, he asked Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord. He says, feed my sheep. And then he asked him a second time, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Tend to my lambs. And a third time he asked him, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord. You know, I would lay down my life for you. And he says, feed my sheep. Now, does he literally mean that we're supposed to go out into a pasture and feed sheep? Don't think so. But what does he mean? Well, that's biblical interpretation. And what you take from it might be different from me. Does that mean we are to feed the homeless? Does that mean we are to feed the community? Does that mean we feed not with food, but with the Word of God in a spiritual sense? On and on and on. Those are interpretations. And so I have said all that to say that today's scripture reading is pretty straightforward, or at least the Ephesians and the gospel lesson, that is. The Psalms for today, well, it leaves a lot of room for interpretation. And I have preached on that text a couple of times, and I talked about it this morning in opening exercises.
And I've talked before about how we read it and how that alone drastically changes its meaning. Like when I read it this morning, there's a big difference between "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Big difference. So the way you read it can change the outcome. We talked about that in opening exercises this morning, along with the "anoint my head with oil" and what that means. But believe you me, we could talk on and on and on for hours about that particular psalm reading. But today, I want to focus a little more on the passage from Paul in his letter to the Ephesians and Jesus' healing grace displayed in John chapter 9. Both of these readings are very much matter of fact. Jesus heals a blind man. Paul says, "Walk in the light." Jesus and his disciples are walking along, and they come across a man who was born blind. And the disciples point him out, and they ask Jesus, "Who sinned?" As if this man was blind by some cause or something, not just naturally born that way. Was it this man's sin that caused him to be born blind, or was it his parents' fault, they ask? Did they see in such a way that God caused this man to be born? Did they sin in such a way that God caused this man to be born blind? No, it was neither. Jesus answers them in a way that they did not expect. Jesus saw an opportunity to deepen the faith of not only the blind man, but also the disciples. So he answered them and said, "Neither did this man's sin cause his blindness nor his parents. He was made blind so that God's grace could be revealed through him." Jesus said to them, "We must do God's work." He said to them, although they did not know it at the time, "We must do the works of he that sent me while it is day, because night is coming in which no one will be able to work." He was telling them, "I am here now, but soon I will not be here, so now is the time." We, of course, know the rest of the story, but the disciples didn't. Jesus was teaching them two lessons simultaneously. Number one, that he is the light of the world. And number two, that when God presents you with an opportunity to reveal his grace, do it. Do not wait. If God calls you to it, do it. He will get you through it. In this case, God called Jesus to heal this blind man. So after explaining to them that he is the light, Jesus spit on the ground and he made mud. And he mixed up that mud and he rubbed it into the eyes of the man, and he told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash it off. Miraculously, this man was given sight. I can only imagine what that was like for him and for the disciples. I'm sure they were just as shocked as the blind man was. What kind of wizardry is going on here? I mean, I know we are talking about the amazing grace of Jesus, but they didn't know that at the time. We know the whole story. They didn't. First of all, the blind, being blind or not, if you spit on the ground and you mix up mud and you try to rub it in my eyes, we fighting. That's plain and simple. We fighting. But as it is written, that didn't happen. Instead, grace happened. The man could see. The disciples witnessed a miracle. As if that wasn't enough, it was done on the Sabbath. Jesus was teaching yet another lesson at the same time. You see, the Pharisees had all these rules of things you can't do because it's the Sabbath. You can't do this and you can't do that. And mixing clay was work, and you were not allowed to do the work on the Sabbath. But Jesus tells us that when God calls you to do something, even if it requires work on the Sabbath, you do it. And you do it so that the glory of God can be revealed. Sometimes doing God's work is risky. Do it anyway. Sometimes doing God's work can cause us grief and judgment from others. Do it anyway. Sometimes doing God's work goes beyond all human understanding. It goes beyond common sense. It goes against the grain. Do it anyway. In this way, it is the work of God that is being revealed and not the work of man. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." No doubt the blind man in this story knows more than anyone the power of the light of Christ. I am sure it affected every aspect of his life. I mean, can you imagine to be born blind and then suddenly you see? Everything in that man's life was different. Walking was different. Talking was different. Eating was different. I am sure that he totally understood what it means to walk in the light. What about you? Has the light of Christ ever transformed you in such a powerful way? Were you once blind, but now you see? Were you once in darkness, but now you walk in light? And this is kind of what Paul is talking about in the letter to Ephesians. Paul encouraged the folks in Ephesians. He encourages us to walk as children of the light. Paul says that we should live in such a way that reflects the light of Christ in everything we do. Paul says that we were once living in darkness, meaning in sin, but now we are called to be children of light. He says for us to live as children of light. Paul encourages us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says to find out what is pleasing to God. Seek, and all of this will be added to you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock at the door, and it shall be opened unto you, just like we sang in our opening hymn this morning. Paul says to speak out against evil. Lord knows we have plenty of that going on in our world today, and Paul reminds us that we should speak out when we see wrongdoing, and that we should live in the light. Therefore, we must reflect the light of Christ in everything that we do so that others might see that light. Those of you who play in the Easter band, this is your calling verse. You gather here into the darkness for breakfast, and then you head out into the darkness of Easter night. You head out to play your rounds, and what is the first thing you play? Sleepers, wake. You call us to gather at Salem Square, but more importantly, you call us to awake from the deadness and sin and allow us to let Christ shine through us. You call us to gather down there on the graveyard to proclaim that the Lord is risen. But we're not there yet. We still have two more weeks of Lent before we enter that holy week. Let us take that time to reflect on who we are and who Christ is calling us to be. Let us take that time to erase the darkness of sin and to allow the light to shine through us. As the choir sang this morning, Jesus, may our hearts be burning with fervent love for you. May our eyes be ever turning to behold your cross anew. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Help us, O Lord, to live as children of light. Help us, grant us, teach us to live as a forgiven child of a risen King. Amen. Our closing hymn is Amazing Grace. I invite you to stand and sing hymn 783. In a couple days, we will celebrate St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick was a great missionary sent from Britain into Ireland. I often wonder if he's sitting in heaven looking down today at us foolish Americans thinking, I didn't even drink, and I don't even like green, I like blue, and I made that abundantly clear. But in the words of St. Patrick, may Christ go before you to guide you. May God Christ go behind you to push you forward. May Christ go above you to watch over you and go below you to uphold you. But most importantly, may Christ go beside you to be your friend. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Amen.
We're going to do things on both ways.